Hey friends, I'm Ashley.
Hey you guys.
I'm Lainey.
And this is Haunted Real Estate. Hey guys, so Lainey and I collaborated and decided that we would each take a legend and do some research. Lainey, what will you be sharing today?
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary. So I am doing the Devil at the Crossroads or the Crossroads deal.
Okay.
I love legends and lore, and I think they're really fun to research and see how they originated, but also you find so many parallels with other countries that they have such similar types of legends. Mm-hmm. And the Crossroads demon or the Crossroads deal is very common amongst many cultures. So like I said, I've been mulling over the Devil at the Crossroads for a while now. Casey and I have been like on and off watching Supernatural. Mm-hmm. And that was like very...
Is that an episode?
It's in an episode, and it does like a little history flashback of it, but it's also like reoccurring. Like sometimes when they want to summon a demon, they go to a crossroads.
Oh.
So then I was like, but when they did the first episode with like the flashback of the kind of original legend in the United States, I was like, I need to research this because this is like a really common legend mm-hmm. that people know of, but you know, I just wanted to learn more about it. So Robert Johnson is kind of the well-known legend in the United States. So I'm going to start there because in the U.S., it's probably known to be the most famous. But I also feel like it's really relevant right now because of like the P. Diddy rumors and stuff that are going around about these like sacrifices. And so, you know, me and some friends from the office.
You think P. Diddy sold his soul?
Maybe.
For the devil? I could see that.
But you hear it with a lot of celebrities. Like, and I'm going to talk about some of the celebrities where these rumors have been circulating for a while. I'm going to talk about that later.
Okay.
But that's why I just felt like it was more relevant because when I watched it on Supernatural and then you're seeing all these like rumors and conspiracy theories going around about celebrities that have done something like that, you're like, okay, I need to look more into this. But yeah, it feels like there's just a lot of evil surfacing with celebrities and horrific connections to these kinds of things. But this legend has captivated people for hundreds of years. And yes, hundreds of years. It didn't actually originate with Robert Johnson. But like I said, in the U.S., that is a very well-known legend of a short-lived but infamous Robert Johnson getting his start as a legendary bluesman. But the legend dates back to as far as the Roman Empire days, so over 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And Hecate, which was a goddess over the crossroads, and I've heard that name pronounced different ways, so pardon me if I mispronounce it. Sometimes it's Hectate, sometimes it's Hecate, and sometimes I'm sure it's a third way that I'm not even saying.
I feel like that's part of the practical magic.
It is mighty Hectate.
Yeah.
No, I thought the same thing. But yeah, it's a female goddess over the crossroads or boundaries or entrance ways. So that's where Roman Empire kind of saw that deal going on. But it makes you wonder if like, because Hecate was like a female goddess over the crossroads, if that's kind of why they always show a woman that appears at the crossroads.
What do you mean the goddess of crossroads? Is she just like every not crossroads?
No, but you know, a lot of like the Greek and Roman gods and goddesses were like over multiple things. Like she was over like boundaries, entranceways, crossroads.
Oh,
like
I get that. Okay.
Multiple things. So anyway, that I wonder if that's why people often think of a woman. Not always. Like a lot of times you hear it's like the devil himself shows up and they say himself.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it just is kind of in the eye of the beholder, like what they would like to see. I don't know.
Got it.
It would make them fall for a deal. Or men are just stupid and they would fall for any seductive woman. I don't know. Because it also seems to be predominant with men making these deals.
Yeah.
But also voodoo has Loa, which is another entity that oversees crossroads and I'm sure other things as well. So this legend is in the South. And Robert Johnson's story is in the South. So legends converge in America where the South had voodoo influences from slaves that were brought to America from Africa and the Caribbean. So you see some some of those like Roman ideas, some of those voodoo ideas, and they all kind of converge here in the South. And the old blues music has many deal-making kind of devilish undertones in the lyrics. Mm-hmm. So many lyrics in that blues music is about selling their souls for fame and fortune. Of course, that's not quite the words they used back then. So as the story goes, this is in the 1930s. Robert Johnson was a struggling musician in Mississippi. He wasn't known to be a talented musician, but he wanted to be famous. And he disappeared for a time. And when he came back, he had a crazy talent as a guitarist, and people thought it was certainly supernatural how he suddenly got this talent. Mm-hmm. And supposedly he went on the road in search of a way to find that fame in music. So now this is where the legend and rumors kind of come together. So we don't really know what he was doing in the time that he kind of disappeared from his town, but it's believed to be true that Robert Johnson actually met his mentor in music, who also has kind of some dark stories associated with him. Supposedly, his mentor played in graveyards to summon spirits. But Robert Johnson learned the crossroads story that if you stand at the crossroads at midnight, the devil will appear and make a deal with you. And Robert's deal, of course, was to exchange his soul to be a famous bluesman. And the legend is that the devil took his guitar, tuned it, and once he gave it back to Johnson, he had this immense talent.
Let me just tune this for you a little bit.
Yes. You know what it also reminds me of a little bit here is Tenacious D.
Yeah? You think he sold his soul to the devil?
No. Not my Jack Black. No, but it's in some of his music. The best song in the world was the best song. Like, they talk about coming across a crossroads demon.
Oh, okay.
Okay, go listen to it, because now I feel like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
Okay, cool. So once Robert Johnson returned home, of course, there was just this disbelief amongst people that there's just no way he suddenly was able to play like this. Now, Robert Johnson's songs, he has one called Crossroads Blues. Crossroads Blues was actually recorded in 1936 in San Antonio. The lyrics go, now this is kind of just pieces of the lyrics. Mm-hmm. I went to the crossroads and I fell on my knees. I asked the Lord above, have mercy, save poor Bob. And of course, his name is Robert, so Bob could have been him talking about himself.
Yeah.
Standing at the crossroads, I tried to flag a ride. The sun going down, boy, dark gonna catch me here. You can run, tell my friend Willie Brown, Lord, that I'm standing at the crossroads, babe. I believe I'm sinking down.
Why is he calling Willie Brown babe?
I don't know.
All right.
I guess I wasn't. There are some parts where he's like also singing about a woman, so I don't know.
All right.
But like playing devil's advocate, he could have been singing about a crossroads demon. He could have also been a black man in the 1930s South, which was not a kind time. There are, if you've never heard the term, this is a term that is sometimes used in the South. It was more common back then.
What are you about to say?
Sundown towns.
Okay.
Yeah, many towns in the South, and he's from Mississippi, were sundown towns, where basically if you were a person of color, you did not want to be out after sundown. Yeah. And these are areas that were heavily prevalent with the KKK, so it would have been very dangerous and absolutely possible that he could have been alluding to sundown towns.
Did you ever watch Lovecraft Country?
I've never even heard of that.
Oh, it's on HBO. It's really good, but there was an episode of...
It's a show?
Yeah.
A movie? Okay.
Yeah. They're traveling through a sundown town, and it's like getting like 10 minutes to sundown, and a cop is riding on their ass like, you get out of our town, like with guns, and it's so intense.
What time period is it?
It sounds about the same, like 1930s. Yeah. But he's chasing after a car of black people with guns. And it was such an intense scene for me. I'm like, yeah. get out of the town. Hurry.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I actually was talking to some friends the other day. And one of my friends, Jasmine, brought up a sundown town in East Texas. And I always understood the term a sundown town as a place you didn't want to be at night. Mm-hmm. I didn't as much associated in present day as like a person of color not wanting to be there at night. And so, yeah. I mean, these two girls are black and I'm over here white and I'm like, wait, no, we don't have sundown towns. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I might not know necessarily if I'm in a sundown town because I'm not going to feel it the same way somebody else would, obviously.
Yeah.
So apparently there is still one in East Texas, supposedly.
Well, that's messed up.
Can't even remember which one she said, but I think it's over by Beaumont going towards Louisiana.
Well, I won't be visiting that place.
Well, there are still obviously unkind, horrible people in this world. So, mm-hmm. sorry to, you know, our friends that have to sometimes still experience that. That's not fair.
It's sad.
Another one of the famous songs, which definitely feels like it alludes to the legend, and this is what a lot of people cling to as like just more evidence that he did make a pact with the devil, was one of his songs is "Hellhound on My Trail." So some of the lyrics are, "You sprinkled hot foot powder around my door," which you're probably like, did you have a foot fungus? Why are you putting foot powder around the door?
Hot foot powder, too.
That is actually a hoodoo custom meant to ward off unwelcomed visitors. So I did have to look into that. I'm like, well, what's hot foot powder? Because is that just like, what is that, Gold Bond? Like Gold Bond powder around your house? Is that what you're talking about? No, that is a actual hoodoo custom to help keep off or keep out unwelcome visitors. Some of the other lyrics, I gotta keep moving. I gotta keep moving. Blues falling down like hail. The days keep worrying about me. There's a hellhound on my trail. Which again, alludes that he is moving around so much to outrun hellhounds. And a lot of people believe that's what he was doing, that he traveled so much because he was trying to outrun something. Which definitely could be. But again, just playing devil's advocate, Robert Johnson was a black man in the South. And even though the 1930s, of course, were not slave times, slaves, runaway slaves, were often chased by dogs, which I'm sure they called them hellhounds because that's probably exactly what that felt like, because they were going to be dragging you back to a place that you considered hell. Right. So it's possible that that's more in line with what he was singing about. But to a lot of people, that was just more evidence between the Crossroads Blues and Hellhound on My Trail. And of course, all the rumors that were already going around about him, that was evidence that was him having made a pact to sell his soul. So many believe without Robert Johnson, there would be no rock and roll. And he is known as the grandfather of rock and roll.
Wow.
And then in a crazy turn of events, he actually died at 27 he mysteriously died at 27, which again, people were like, that seemed weird. People think supposedly he was poisoned.
Okay.
Which was just kind of a strange death. So I'm not going to lie, 1930s Mississippi, people were not kind to people of color in general, but he looked much older than 27. His pictures, 1930s living in the South, had to be really unkind because there was no anti-aging back then. So he looks like 50 in some of his pictures, but he actually died at 27. And he is one of the members of what they call the 27 Club.
I was about to say,
yep.
27. I was thinking in my head, well, is it 21?
Nope, it's 27. So there are a lot of legendary artists that died at 27. Jimi Hendrix, Brian Jones, who is one of the founding members of the Rolling Stones, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison of the Doors, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse. These are just the artists in the Western world. There's actually, if you look up the 27 Club, it's all over the world. There's artists at 27 that died. But those are the ones that we would be more familiar with. So Robert Johnson's legend gets a little bit murky because there's also Tommy Johnson, who predates Robert Johnson, who also has a legend of him selling his soul. In the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou with George Clooney, Tommy Johnson's character actually makes an appearance as George Clooney's character picks him up at the crossroads, and he said he was standing there since midnight after selling his soul to the devil because he wasn't using it. And it was to gain musical talent as well.
Oh, wow.
So
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Casey pointed it out. He was like, oh, that was in the movie. I was like, oh, you're right. So I went back and I watched that scene. So Robert Johnson and Tommy Johnson both associated to have gained a lot of talent in a short time and supposedly sold their souls to make it happen. And like I said, Tommy Johnson actually did come before Robert Johnson. Tommy Johnson was born in 1896 and died in 1956. And Robert Johnson was born in 1911. It was like 25 years later. No, just kidding. 15 years later. I can math. 15 years later and then died in 1938. So the legend is most heavily associated with Robert Johnson, but I wanted to bring it up because some people may have known it with Tommy Johnson. So like I said earlier, there is an OG to this legend, and that was a German alchemist, astrologer, and musician, Johann Georg Faust.
Oh.
His story is known, of course he's going to make a deal too, because that's what my legend's about, but his deal became known as the Faustian bargain. So anybody who sells their soul, it's called the Faustian bargain.
Okay.
So, and like I said, it's also like celebrities exchanging their soul for fame and fortune is known as the Faustian bargain. So he was born in 1480 Heidelberg.
Wow.
Supposedly he was dissatisfied with his life and he kept asking God to give him powers. He was a believer, but God was not answering him. So he turned to the alternative, which was the devil himself, because he desperately wanted these supernatural powers.
I can't imagine, like, asking God for something and then just turning around and asking the devil for it.
Yeah, like, God didn't give it to me, so let me just turn around and sell my soul.
Go down this really dark path instead.
Yeah. Actually, in the Crossroads deal in Supernatural, one of them is really sad because he was, like, praying to God for his wife to recover from terminal cancer.
Aww.
And then he did the deal with a demon because his wife wasn't recovering. And so he ended up selling his soul for her health. I'm like, okay, that was really sad. Why do we have to turn it like this?
Yeah.
It's easier when the person is doing it over greed to be like, okay, like, this is on you. But when you do it for something like that, you're like, oh, damn.
I know.
So the legend differs a little bit. It's not specifically the devil. It does have more German cultural influence, which is Mephistopheles, that he made a deal with, who was an agent for the devil. So oh my gosh, it's not in my everyday words to say this. Mephistopheles made a deal with Faust that after a certain number of years, he would get his soul after giving Faust his powers. And so for Faust, he got 24 years. A lot of times you hear 10 years. I think it's all negotiable.
Okay.
So after 24 years, Mephistopheles would come back for his soul. So he, Faust, traveled all through Germany claiming that he had these supernatural abilities. And then, of course, after his death, legends grew. Books were written about it. He died in 1540. The stories written about him, there's primarily one major publication. It's called Das Faustbuch, which literally means the Faust book. It was written in 1587. And it was written about how he made a pact with the devil in exchange for his soul to gain knowledge and power. And for hundreds of years since Faust, it's rumored, like I said, that many famous artists have sold their souls. So now I'm just going to talk about celebrity rumors, if that's okay.
I'm excited.
I'm going to preface that these are rumors. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. You can go look up, you know, these stories yourself. So other celebrities with rumors about making a deal with the devil in more modern times, John Lennon said at a press conference that the Beatles were so successful because he had sold his soul.
Really?
Yep. And of course,
said that out loud.
He did. He died in a sudden tragic way at a fairly young age, not 27, but he was, I believe, 40. Another one who has a similar claim is Snoop Dogg.
What? No, not Snoop Doggy Dog.
Yeah, Snoop Doggy Dog. Little Richard was also quoted.
Wait, that's all you're going to say about Snoop Dogg?
Well, I don't have like a long story to everybody because these are rumors. So there's not like Snoop Dogg went one night and gave his blood of a lamb. Like I don't have a long drawn out story for them because they're rumors.
It smoked the devil's joint.
That sounds very Snoopy. Yeah. So could be. Little Richard was quoted to having said his career was, quote, directed and commanded by the powers of darkness, end quote.
Jim, do you think that's why they call it the devil's lettuce? Sorry, I'm still stuck on Snoop Dogg.
You think he provides you a joint that you smoke and that's the devil's lettuce? Maybe. Could be.
It's a good theory.
There's a lot of...
There's no truth behind that, guys, but
yeah,
it's a good theory.
That's kind of this discussion here. All of this is legend and rumor. I'm not stating any of this as absolute fact. It is interesting, though, that a lot of these celebrities have said before that they've sold their soul.
Yeah, that's weird. Why would you say that?
Right. I'm sure some people don't mind saying something like that because they know it will gain them just more publicity. I would never put that juju around me.
Yeah.
I would never, ever, ever. One, I would never do it. And two, I would never say it or even pretend.
Correct.
So Jim Morrison of The Doors, he was the lead singer of The Doors, was another one that supposedly sold his soul, and he's also a part of the 27 Club.
Okay.
So Rolling Stones, going back to that, because we brought up Brian Jones earlier as a part of the 27 Club, the Rolling Stones released an album for the first time, putting Satan in the title. It was the Satan's, their Satanic Majesty's request. And Mick Jagger played up the devil so much in his music, with songs being heavily associated with Satan, but he would come out on stage with even like fake devil tattoos and stuff like that because he really wanted to portray that image.
I don't think I knew that.
Well, you know, because you know the Satanic Panic of the
80s?
Yeah. Satanic Panic was heavily in the 80s, but also I think communication was just so much better in the 80s. But really through like the 50s through the 80s, I feel like people just freaked out about anything that could be possibly associated with the devil. And I think the Robert Johnson story and how that started rock and roll automatically put in people's minds that there was this satanic association with rock and roll.
Got it.
But then you have people, you know, 30 years later, 40 years later, after the start of rock and roll, who are now playing up the image of the devil with rock and roll, which is going to make some people believe that it's absolutely true that they sold their soul. And it's going to make other people be like, this is a PR thing, because you know that people freaked out about it. It's kind of a rebellious thing to like rock and roll. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But I do get why some parents, especially when you heavily believe in things like that, that they were terrified their kids were involved, because they just thought the kids were listening to satanic music, which yeah. A lot of it is not related to that at all. But I could see how it helped propel the Satanic Panic of the 1980s. But it was becoming so prevalent between the 30s and the 80s, that kind of 50-year time period. Other artists include, who may have sold their soul to the devil, again, maybe, Bob Dylan was another one. Rapper Lil Uzi Vert, which
I've never heard of him.
Okay, Casey knew who that was, but I did not know who that was. He has hinted at selling his soul, and his lyrics and music videos have also further spurred those rumors, because he kind of plays it up.
Okay.
Lady Gaga is another one.
I believe that so much.
I have mixed feelings, because she is like such an expressive artist, mm-hmm. that I could see her just not giving a floop what she portrays herself as.
Yeah.
And it gets attention, and she's really good at that. So I don't know. This one I do see, though. Oprah Winfrey.
100%.
That one is much more, because she is associated with a lot of dark Hollywood. So I don't want to discount that. Yeah. That's a possibility. I could see it. Nicki Minaj is another one. Her lyrics, attire, and alter egos, all, she has so many like occult type visuals that definitely help those rumors. Here's another one that I also believe. Again, my opinion, mm-hmm. not stating it as fact. Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah. I feel like the Kardashians as a whole.
They rose to fame way too fast.
Yeah.
And for what purpose? It started with a sex tape.
Yeah.
That should not have made you that famous. Because, like, sex tapes that come out with celebrities, like, right, nobody cares about a random person's sex tape.
Yeah.
They usually care about a celebrity sex tape. So how did that sex tape start you?
And she wasn't a celebrity then. And I heard, I don't know if it's true, but that her mom helped release that sex tape. Like,
I could see that.
It's just,
yeah, like, her dad was like a famous attorney.
Yeah.
But not necessarily like a big celebrity. So anyway, but it is believed that it was Kim herself that made a pact with the devil. And like I said, I think their fame grew incredibly fast. And it just seems like no matter what the Kardashians do, they always somehow remain relevant.
Yeah.
Like they're always there.
I don't like them, but.
I'm not a fan.
I'm sure that's not a popular opinion.
But I'm also not a fan of like any kind of reality TV whatsoever. So I don't think I am their audience.
Yeah.
So I understand they have fans, but they're probably people who just love reality TV. And I hate reality TV. I'm like the opposite of reality TV.
Me too.
Santana is another one. Another guitar legend that is rumored to having had made a pact with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Ozzy Osbourne, who of course touted himself as the Prince of Darkness, which again, kind of like Mick Jagger, you're kind of, I think, trying to look like you're associating yourself that way, whether it's true or not. But he literally touted himself as the Prince of Darkness. So of course, people are going to heavily associate him with the devil. And not exactly last, there's a lot more celebrities that have rumors, but
Taylor Swift.
I wasn't going to say Taylor Swift. I was just going to reiterate P. Diddy because of the crazy rumors that have been going around about him, the arrests that have been made, the videos that have been found. And there's people that have talked about that he has sacrificed people in demonic rituals to maintain his crazy level of celebrity. And you know, I'm going to mention this too, is Jennifer Lopez is another one where I just saw something about her the other day that it was one of her ex-husbands, actually, like when her first husband,
mm-hmm.
that they would actually go like sacrifice like chickens and stuff like that together as like, and some of it was like Santeria type rituals, but that she did do a lot of sacrificing to help contribute towards her fame.
Yeah, that's weird.
But
that's
yeah, thing to do. With P. Diddy, his name alone just like gives me the freaking creeps. And I don't want to give him too much attention, but pretty sure he's just kind of a demon in himself.
Yeah.
So not saying that literally. I think at best he is a horrible, horrible human being. But at worst, maybe he literally did sell himself. I mean, there's even rumors that he's not even himself anymore, that like he's essentially possessed, or like he is not of him, his human self, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff out there. I don't know if you've even seen like the pictures where they are showing that P. Diddy is not the one that's even in jail. It's like a clone of him that's in jail because it's like missing some of his moles and stuff like that in his mugshot.
No way.
Yeah. It's really weird. I don't know. I get sucked into this conspiracy theory. And again, too. I'm emphasizing it is conspiracy theory. I'm not over here saying this is fact, but I'm saying it's weird as hell.
It's like that video of the guy who's wrestling and he's just paused.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one like freaked me out because I don't know. It's like when someone's just staring and it's so blank. That is such a freaky, like, no, walk away. I'm not even going to participate.
Yeah.
Like Lynn did that in the haunted house at Blair Scare.
That's so freaky.
She didn't move and she stared with her freaky contacts. And I was like, I can't even look at her. I just have to walk away.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what you're about to do. Whether you're about to just like shake my hand or jump out at me, I can't handle either. So I'm just going to leave.
Yeah.
So back to Robert Johnson. As we close out my legends segment here, you know, what's interesting is I always wondered, kind of like we were saying, why people in the 1950s thought that rock and roll was the devil's music. And I feel like this gave me a better understanding as to how those origins even started. It makes a lot more sense now why parents would have been freaked out. And I love rock and roll. It's my favorite kind of music.
I like that old timer rock and roll.
So for those that don't know, I love rock and roll, but I'm also okay telling you that I also love Jesus. So because I enjoy learning the history of these things, I don't think that means that I'm selling my soul. I would never do that. That belongs to Jesus. So I just like these little history lessons to help me better understand how these things got started and how rock and roll originated. And I'm sure when Elvis came out and he entered the scene thrusting and gyrating his hips and women literally fainted, I see now why parents probably were like, this is the devil's music. Like nothing could make my daughter do that in a concert or something like that. So I get old folks of a different era that was just a completely different time. But that is our Devil at the Crossroads legend. And I hope you enjoyed.
I really did. That was interesting.
So next up is going to be Lainey with Bloody Mary. So let me also end by saying we are not condoning making a pact with any kind of entity. Be smart. Don't give away anything like your soul to some kind of evil entity for personal gain, because I think there will always be a downfall for you in the end. Be kind. Be good to other people. I want to end mine with good juju, because I feel like I said the devil so many times. It's like,
devil.
I'm going to go do some Palo Santo and some prayers after this, just to kind of get that bad juju away from me, because I am about positive energy, and that is not positive energy. It's fun to learn about, but it's not positive energy. Okay, well, go ahead. Bloody Mary.
Speaking of positive energy. So
great segue.
I don't know about you guys, but when Ashley and I were little, we played Bloody Mary. Of course, nothing happened and we moved on with our lives. But that's not the case for some people, which I will get down to a couple stories that are claims to be real. But I wanted to kind of dive into what the game is. If you don't know what it is, I'm sure there's 1% of you out there who don't know what the game is.
Mm-hmm.
So first, you've got to find the right spot. It's usually a bathroom with a mirror. The atmosphere certainly matters, so it needs to be like a dimly lit room. Step two is candle setup. You got to create the ambience. You want it like kind of sexy in there, but it's just going to be you.
Like you're going to take a relaxing bath, but you're not.
Exactly. So light a candle, and then that's whenever you stare into the mirror and you really focus. And you have to clear your mind, and you chant Bloody Mary 3 times. Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. I need a different vibe than Bloody Mary.
The idea is to invite her spirit into the mirror.
But we're not, just to be clear.
All right, don't ruin my whole story with, but don't do that.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm just going to say that general, just don't do it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Then you wait and you watch. After calling your name, you pause and look in the mirror. And this is the moment of truth. Some of you may see her face, and other mention others mention of a changes in the mirror itself. Step 5 is repeated if necessary. If you're not seeing anything, just keep saying Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. Until you see something.
You know, it's like when you're trying that hard to see something, I feel like you're going to manifest something. I'm not even saying you're actually manifesting something paranormal. You're going to make yourself see something.
Yeah.
You're going to make yourself see like a swoosh or a car that goes by the window. You're gonna be like, oh my God, I just saw a light. Like you're going to get yourself paranoid that you are seeing something.
Absolutely. Especially with the candlelight. Like if you're staring that hard, you're going to have some kind of delusion. Yeah,
I want to be under like police investigative lighting. Like I want it heavily well lit.
Yes.
I'm not playing around with a dimly lit, I can't tell what I saw kind of BS.
So the 6th step is to spin around. If you still don't see anything, keep saying her name while spinning.
Mm-hmm.
And that might increase your chances of her appearing. Step 7 is to close the ritual. Whether you've seen something or not, it's always good to say goodbye, Mary. You don't have to say that 3 times, though.
Well, I always do think that that's good to tell whatever that they're not welcome. I've said it before, but I'm just going to say it again, that they're not welcome to come back with you. I think there's a reason why that's the end of like a lot of those rituals. Yeah. Like, thanks, be done now. Thanks. Like, we're done. We played, we're done.
Yeah. So then you turn on the lights and you reflect on the experience. That is the general game of Bloody Mary. A lot of children like to play it. I don't know why. I guess we just like to scare ourselves.
Kids are weirdos.
Yes.
Why did we do light as a feather, stiff as a board when it never worked?
I don't know.
I could never lift anybody with 2 fingers.
No.
And that's what we were supposed to do. What? I was like, why was that a thing when nobody could ever do it?
It must have just been a fun sleepover thing. Like, let's not come up with games. These games have existed for hundreds of years, but...
And it's always kids messing with this stuff. Like Jenny and I played with a Ouija board. What were we thinking?
Well, we also played witches and made potions.
Okay, well, that I feel like that's a little bit different. I mean, we never played, like, evil witches or anything. We're doing actual spells.
Well, I don't know, because I broke out into hives, so I think you put a spell on me.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I was allergic to Bath and Body Works.
Yeah, that was a fun revelation, because we were just mixing a bunch of Bath and Body Works stuff, and then Lainey broke out in hives, and then I'm somehow a witch. Yes. Dang it, what was I about to say? Oh, but even... You know, like, I feel like I've learned about Ouija boards and stuff enough to be like, hey, kids, you're not going to play with this stuff. And then one day I found a makeshift one in Jack's room that him and the next door neighbor made.
What?
And I told her, I was like, because she doesn't like anything supernatural. She won't listen to this podcast. You know, like, she's one of my great closest friends. But I was like, I just feel like you should know that the boys made a Ouija board together. And I feel like we need to have a conversation to not toy around with this stuff.
Yeah.
Because it was. I was like, no, you can't buy one. You can't play with one. I didn't think they'd go make one.
Yeah. When was this?
It was at this house. So it was in the last 3 years.
I'm having some words with after this.
Yeah.
So anyways, the history of Bloody Mary or where she might have come from, there's about 3 contenders who could have been Bloody Mary. The first one hails from England and is known as the daughter of King Henry VIII.
Mm-hmm. And yep, Queen Mary. She was crazy.
I know. Which is funny because I talked about King Henry and Anne Boleyn and all of this is kind of tied together, which is weird.
You always end up back over at the UK. Or all Ireland. Roads for Lainey lean back to the, well, Ireland, Scotland, or,
yeah,
you're just hanging out over there.
But I did think that was weird. But anyways, so as queen, one of Mary's biggest priorities was returning England to the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
She married Philip II of Spain, and she really just stomped out Protestant rebellion and reversed many of her father and her half-brother's anti-Catholic policies.
Well, and just, are you talking about the background with King Henry? Because it is interesting what her dad did. So there were very heavy Catholic ties. I like the Tudor family. I find that reign so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary's mother, his first of his 6 wives was Queen Catherine, mm-hmm. who was from Spain. She was very Catholic. He was Catholic. Well, she bore him, of course, Queen Mary or Princess Mary at the time, who was their only daughter. She could not get pregnant with a son. She was older than him. And so he was looking at the younger ladies and he was like, you know what? I think I want a divorce. And so he went to the Pope. The Pope said, no, bop-a-da-bop. He decided, I'm not Catholic anymore. I'm going to create the Church of England. And that's how he kind of separated from the Catholic Church. And then she comes back trying to bring it back. Because, I mean, her dad is not a good fella. It was all self-serving, but kind of separated from the Catholic Church that way.
So I didn't get a divorce.
Exactly. It was convenient for him. But it's interesting that when she became queen, she went heavily Catholic. And then when she died and her sister becomes queen, she goes, I believe it was heavily Protestant, but not in the way that Bloody Mary was. I mean, her name is earned because there were a lot of deaths at her hand.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. According to the Smithsonian, Mary had hoped the executions would be a short, sharp shock that would encourage Protestants to return to the Catholic Church. She just thought a couple of executions would do the trick.
Mm-hmm. And a few sacrificial lambs.
Yeah, telling her advisors that the executions they're just used so people might perceive them and, you know, not be condemned without occasion, whereby they shall understand the truth and beware to do the like, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. They talked very different back then.
Yeah. I would have been like, what? Say that one more time.
Repeat. But Protestants were undeterred. And after 3 years, from 1555 until Mary's death in 1558, almost 300 of them were burned alive at her command. The victims included prominent religious figures like Thomas Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and the bishops Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, as well as many, many normal citizens, and most of them were poor.
Mm. So expendable.
Yes. Mary's scourge of Protestants left a lasting legacy. After her death, it earned the Queen the nickname Bloody Mary. But that's not the only reason why some people believe that Queen Mary is linked to the legendary Bloody Mary story. Alongside burning Protestants, Mary had another priority: getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually 37 years old when she took power, so she was determined to produce an heir to her reign. And things definitely took a strange twist.
Uh-huh. I know. I kind of feel like she deserved it.
Yeah, I do too. Though she announced she was pregnant just 2 months after marrying Philip, by all conceivable measures, she appeared to be pregnant. But Mary's due death came and went without a baby.
You sound like you said due death.
Due date?
Okay.
That's what I think I said.
All right. But see how it sounds. I swear you said her due death came and went. Like, wait, what does that mean?
I probably did. According to Refinery 29, rumors spread in the French court that Mary had delivered a mole or a lump of flesh. Possibly she had a molar pregnancy, a complication known as a hydatidiform mole. And I did look this up because I was unsure, and that's like having a cyst.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I just don't feel like this hairy mole is what I should be envisioning came out of her body, but okay.
I know. That was the term back then, but it's a cyst.
I've always heard it as like a tumor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually a hydatidiform mole.
Okay. Yeah, maybe my interpretation of it was always a tumor, which wasn't necessarily accurate, but maybe my brain was like, I don't know what boring a mole is, so we're going to call that a tumor, because that's more understandable to me.
Yes. No, I immediately looked that up. I was like, first, how do you say this word, and what is it?
Yeah.
When Mary died in 1558 at the age of 42, possibly from uterine or ovarian cancer, she died without a child. So her Protestant half-sister Elizabeth took power instead, cementing Protestantism place in England.
The way you say it's funny, but you still said it right.
Okay.
Protestantism. It's Protestantism.
Meanwhile, Mary's enemies made sure that she became known as Bloody Mary. Through the Smithsonian notes that her father had ordered the many deaths, as many as 72,000 of his subjects and her sister went on to hang, draw, and quarter 183 Catholics, Mary was the only one to be deemed bloody. So there's some other a-holes in her family. But
I guess I didn't realize Queen Elizabeth did all that, because it's just not as associated with her. I mean, she was the bachelorette queen who, if I remember correctly, had so much makeup on her face that, like, she had holes in her skin because they made so much of it with arsenic. But I don't know if those were rumors or not. I need to look that up to see if that's fact.
I remember learning about that in school, actually.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that in a long time. That used to really freak me out, like, all the holes in your skin from makeup.
I never forgot it.
Yeah, me neither.
Seemed traumatic.
her reputation could have come from sexism or simply the fact that she was a Catholic queen in a largely Protestant nation. Either way, the Bloody Mary nickname tied to Mary and tied to the urban legend. But there are a couple of other women who may have inspired the Bloody Mary story as well. Besides Queen Mary of England, there are two other main women who are said to inspire the Bloody Mary story. The first is Mary Worth, a mysterious witch. And the second is Mary Bathory, a Hungarian noblewoman who killed hundreds of children and girls and young women. Hundreds of girls and young women is what I was trying to say.
Is this the one that bathed in blood?
I heard that story.
I don't know if it's her. I actually think it's like a countess.
I think it is. I actually recently listened to a story that was about that. But no, I don't think we're talking about the same one.
Okay.
There's a lot of women that love to kill people. And
even though I always think Bloody Mary, I think of Queen Mary. I don't think the Bloody Mary ritual is about her.
Okay.
It's just my opinion.
Yeah. Details about Mary Worth are kind of hazy, including whether or not she existed at all, which is interesting. Haunted Rooms describes her as a witch who had allegedly put children under her spell, kidnapped them, murdered them, and used their blood to stay youthful.
Oh, there you go. See, that to me would make more sense. If you're like summoning something, it would be one, I feel like it would be like a witch or something like that. Yeah. Not a queen who was misguided. I don't think Queen Mary is showing up in your mirror. I think it's somebody like this that you're summoning. Because yeah. I feel like a lot of evil type witches could, again, these are Ashley opinions, okay? I'm not stating this as fact. But I could see an evil witch becoming a demon in an afterlife. Because yeah. Like you've elevated yourself to some kind of supernatural being as a human.
Yeah.
I could see in the afterlife you have some sort of elevated evil role in the afterlife. But again, just my thoughts.
That makes sense. When people found out, they reportedly tied her to a stake and burned her alive. Then Mary Worth screamed that if they dared to say her name in the mirror, she would haunt them.
Okay, well, that checks.
Yes. But we also don't know if she existed or not.
Right, so. Right. This is a legend.
Yeah, so that's quite the tale to tell about someone who may or may not exist.
Yeah.
The Lake County Journal, however, writes that Mary Worth was a local of Wadsworth, Illinois, who was part of the Reverse Underground Railroad, which I do not like. She's said to bring slaves under false pretenses to send them back down to the South and make more money. Doesn't that just sound traumatic?
Yes.
That's so sad to think you're...
It's like...
Finally out of this horrible, horrible life of slavery, and then you get sent back down there.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. There's not much worse than that, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Bob Jensen, a paranormal investigator and the leader of the Lake County's Ghostland Society, told the Lake Journal. Sorry, I paused between that. He's the one who told us about the Reverse Underground Railroad.
Oh, okay.
Jensen also explained that Mary Worth was tortured and killed escaped slaves as part of her witchy rituals. Eventually, the local townspeople found out and killed her, either by burning her at the stake or by lynching her. But while Mary Worth's existence seems debatable, Elizabeth Bathory is very real. She is a Hungarian noblewoman who is charged with killing at least 80 girls and young women between 1590 and 1610. Rumors spread that she subjected them to sickening torture, including sewing their lips shut, beating them with clubs, and burning them with hot irons. Allegedly, she even bathed in their blood in order to maintain their youthful appearance. What's more is one witness claims that Bathory's trial, that they'd seen in a diary that Bathory recorded her victims. There were not just 80 names on the list, but 650.
Buh.
I know, that's quite the jump. For that reason, Bathory seems to be a fair candidate to be Bloody Mary, but all of her defenders argue that the charges against her were fabricated because the king owed her late husband debts.
Oh, wow.
So for further research on this case, I went to thoughtcatalog.com and found some real stories about Bloody Mary. Now, these could be fabricated. They could be real. I'm not going to say anything because these are actual people's accounts.
Oh, Elizabeth Bathory is the...
She is?
Yeah, I think she is the countess that we were just talking about.
Okay.
Because when I type in countess that bathed in blood, it's all Hungarian serial killer countess Elizabeth Bathory.
Well, damn. All right.
Yeah, so that is her.
I just didn't read that much about her for this, so I didn't put two and two together.
How they put Mary to her name, though.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Well, dang, now I want to re-listen to that episode. So I'm going to go in and tell you two stories that supposedly happened.
Okay.
I and some friends were over at my grandma's house.
You just changed your voice. That was weird.
I and some friends.
I imagine these are like little kids.
Oh my gosh. Okay, go back to your storytelling voice.
We're over at my grandma's house, and we all went to the bathroom where we had several candles burning. Several girls were chanting Bloody Mary in the bathroom when there was a brilliant flash of light, and we all saw a very old, scary woman that looked like her flesh was rotting off of her, and she was standing in the bathroom with all of us. You can smell the most horrible smell of rotting flesh in the bathroom, and the old woman was gone. I know from then on, I was scared to go back in the bathroom. About 4 months later, my friend Amber wrecked her new car and kept telling her mom and her dad that Bloody Mary was in the car with her just before she wrecked, and that Bloody Mary grabbed the steering wheel and caused her to wreck. And just a short time later, Amber was found drowned in the upstairs bathroom of her parents' house. I know I have always wondered if Bloody Mary killed Amber. I promise you, this is a true story, and it still scares me. Cindy.
Wow, Cindy.
I know. That's
so creepy. I mean, I'll just, you know, it's like the expression is, fuck around and find out. Mm-hmm. Some people aren't ready to find out is the problem.
No.
And you play around with those things because you're curious, but then what if? You bring in something, you know, like, yeah. Are you prepared for that? I feel like most people would say no. They just want to prove that it's wrong. But what if you prove that it's right?
Yeah, that's the scary of it.
Fuck around and find out.
So our second story, I went into the bathroom and I turned off all the lights and I turned around 7 times while saying Bloody Mary on each turn. I then stopped turning and faced the mirror.
So this person did it by themselves, not with a group of friends.
Correct.
Okay, no.
That's how you're supposed to play the game. You're not supposed to play it with people.
You're right. The people would put you in a bathroom, but there'd be like a group right outside your bathroom. Yeah. I'm still not playing around. There's still a door dividing us, and I'm not okay with that.
I know. I then stopped and turned and faced the mirror. I waited in silence for something to happen. I was about to leave when I heard a woman singing. I slowly turned back into the mirror and I saw her. She had long, dark brown hair that was soaked in blood. Her neck looked like someone had just slit her throat. I screamed. When my brother started banging on the door and turning the lock, she became angry. She was smiling then, which really freaks me out.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry. A sinister smile is the worst kind of smile.
I know.
I'd rather you stare at me than sinister smile me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not okay.
She was smiling, and then she frowned and reached out through the mirror with one bloody arm and slapped/scratched me on the right side of the face.
Mm-mm.
I felt her nails strike so hard that I was knocked to the floor. My head slammed against the side of the bathtub, and I was knocked unconscious. When I woke, I was in the hospital with bandages across the right side of my face. The attack was a year ago, and to this day, I still cannot see out of my right eye.
Oh.
And the side of my face is stuck in a permanent scream.
What?
No one should ever try to summon this witch that has ruined my life. Please read this and take it seriously. Do not summon that evil witch. Nicole.
I think that that is a good lesson.
Yes.
If I haven't emphasized it enough, these are not things we would ever mess around with. Please don't mess around with it because, like I said, a lot of this I'm sure is hokum.
Yeah.
But are you ready to find out if it is real, if that is the case?
No. Nope.
And that's why I feel like people don't understand consequences. You're there to probably prove it's wrong. But if you prove it's right, you're just going to live with regret the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's
not worth it.
Even if you saw something in the mirror, like if I saw something in the mirror, it didn't touch me, didn't do anything, that would ruin me. I'd be like, I just freaking summoned something. So yeah. Anything that happens in my life from here on out, anything bad, I'm going to think it's because I summoned something. I can't unsee what I saw. So I'm ruined.
Exactly.
Don't play around.
Don't play around. You hear that, people?
Sorry. I was making up words.
Yeah. So that's my legend. I hope you guys enjoyed it. The true stories, again, don't know if they're true, but they did kind of freak me out.
I'm sure they're based on something. Yeah. I mean, well, for sure, Bloody Mary, Queen Mary is... That is based on something real.
Yeah, but there are 13 more stories like that online, so I will have the link attached if you want to go read those fun stories. I tried to pick the scariest ones.
Yeah, and if you guys have any of these like legends that we've talked about, if you have any stories that go along with it, we would love to hear it and potentially share it.
For sure, man.
For sure.
For sure.
So if you would like to follow us on Instagram, you can do that at haunted.real.estate. If you would like to send us an email with a story, and know that we like to hear any kind of real estate related story, or you know, something that happened to you. It could be a house you bought or lived in at some point, something that happened. We would love to hear that. And that's at hauntedrepod.com. That's not our website that I just made up. Our email is hauntedrepod@gmail.com. Yeah, so that's it. And lastly, if you were looking for an agent in the Houston market, give myself or my husband Casey a call, and you can still just reach out to us on hauntedrepod@gmail.com. Lainey and I are trying to be better, and we are committing to 2 episodes a month, which I know that's not a lot, but we are trying to get back to some kind of commitment that we are pretty sure that we can make happen. Life gets busy. Family happens, you know, and it's really, this is hard. And like I said, I've said before, it's not our full-time jobs. We just do this for fun. But it is a good way for us to like hang out together, share scary stories, things that we've always liked to do. So thank you guys so much for listening. And I hope you have an amazing week.
Have a great day.
Bye.